Welcome to the students who are here observing. Hope you're enjoying your time here today. We have one final case on the calendar. I'm not sure if the attorneys are, okay, great. That is A19-0100, State of Minnesota versus Raymond Joseph Belcourt. We'll each have 15 minutes for oral argument, and we'll have an additional 5 minutes for rebuttal. And appellant can proceed when you're ready.
Good morning, Your Honors, or good afternoon, Your Honors. I barely get to say that, so good afternoon, Your Honors. May it please the court. My name is Jennifer Workman. I'm an assistant state public defender, and I represent the appellant, Raymond Belcourt. Your Honors, this case deals with the authority of a tribal police officer to act outside of the reservation's boundaries. In this case, Section 62693 and the cooperative agreement limited the tribal officer to enforcing state laws within the geographical boundaries of White Earth Reservation. The statute and the cooperative agreement did not permit the tribal officer to seize and cite Mr. Belcourt in Becker County for a crime that did not occur on the reservation. But I want to be clear with this court that our argument does not keep the tribal officers chained to within the reservation's boundaries at all times. Tribal officers can make stops off of the reservations under certain circumstances, but those circumstances don't exist here. And that's why we are asking this court to reverse the denial of the motion to suppress.
What are those circumstances where it would be allowed?
If you look at 62940, which is one of the statutes that we are considering here as part of our statutory interpretation analysis, 62940 subdivision 2 and subdivision 3 set out the circumstances under which a peace officer can cite someone outside of his jurisdiction. There are three there. One of them is the most pertinent to this case. The three are when they are acting pursuant to a court order, which is not this case, when there is fresh pursuit, which also is not this case. The one that's pertinent here is the in the course and scope of employment. And it is
what does
our,
that phrase mean?
In the course and scope of employment has been analyzed a little bit under very different circumstances in the Your Way case, but in this circumstance, it's not going to apply. The in the course and scope of employment, what this officer was doing is defined by the cooperative agreement in this case. The cooperative agreement, which is reproduced in our addendum if you need to refer to it, says that White Earth and Becker County permit the tribal officers to enforce, and I'm quoting from it here, to enforce the criminal laws of the state of Minnesota within that portion of the White Earth Reservation that lies within Becker County. That language does not permit the tribal officers to enforce the laws outside of the reservation. That's
specific. Well, it doesn't speak to that question, right?
It does, Your Honor. It's the most specific here. I think it helps if we kind of back up and start with our statutory analysis to how we get there. So first, we got to start with 62693. 62693 is the statute that permits tribes to start their own law enforcement and also permits tribes to enter into cooperative agreements with other governmental units such as counties. Now, in subdivision 3 of 62693, it says if there is a cooperative agreement, the tribe, quote unquote, shall have concurrent jurisdictional authority with the local county sheriff within the geographical boundaries of the tribe's reservation. So the legislature has set out there the limitations upon the tribal police officer's authority. Then if you move on to the next statute issue here, that's 62684. That's
the statute talks about enforcing state law within the geographic boundaries of the tribe's reservation. It doesn't address the converse right?
That's right. But again, applying principles of statute, statutory interpretation here, the expression of one thing is the exclusion of another.
Well,
and so if they are saying that you are limited here, then that is where you're at.
I don't think it says you are limited. It doesn't say it simply just doesn't address enforcement outside of the boundaries.
And then you go to the other statutes. You go through the peace officer statute. There's no authority given to them there. Go to 62940. None of that's going to apply here. You finally end up at the cooperative agreement.
Well,
cooperative agreement.
Let's go back to 62940. I mean, I think that's why in the course and scope of employment becomes important.
It does. It is important to this case. However, I can tell you that this is not the course of and scope of his employment to act outside of the reservation. Let's be clear.
I want to understand that. Explain to me, why is it not the course and scope of his employment?
So let's be clear that this officer is a tribal officer. He is acting with the authority of the tribe, not a larger umbrella of law enforcement from Minnesota. He is a tribal officer. It is too simplistic to say that because he's a peace officer, he gets to do whatever he wants. That ignores the rest of these, the existence of these tribal statutes. So because he's a tribal officer and because the cooperative agreement says our officers have to stay within our reservation unless there is one of these exceptions under 62940, then he doesn't get to go off. Now, why is this not in the course of scope of employment, to go back to your question? Because he is limited to things that have happened with the tribe, that incurred with the tribe. So if this was a crime that occurred on the reservation, he could arrest Mr. Belcourt. That's not what happened here. This is a crime where somebody was fleeing from Becker County Sheriff and comes onto the reservation. He could stop them. If this was a crime where he stopped somebody, they fled from him off of the reservation, he could still go and stop them. Really, what we're looking at here is a very limited circumstance of he doesn't get to stop someone for a crime that's not in his jurisdiction and for something that he didn't personally witness. So
you're saying he's limited to what happens with the tribe because that's his
That's what the statutes say. That's what the cooperative agreements say. Yes, Your Honor.
At the beginning, you said tribal officers are not chained to the jurisdiction, to the reservation. There are some circumstances
That's right.
where they can go out, and I'm not clear on what all of those circumstances are. I mean, there's the various exceptions in 629.3. Mm-hmm. Is the course and scope one of the...
That would be under different circumstances than what we have present here.
So what under what circumstances could a tribal officer... go beyond the reservation under the course and scope?
Let's say you're looking for like a hypothetical or an example of that. Let's say that an officer is driving off of the reservation to take something to the Becker County attorneys, as they often do, and witnesses a car accident. He could stop and render aid there. That would be the course and scope of his employment. This is not a situation where, and let's back up and remember why we have all of these statutes. The tribal statutes exist because of, as we pointed out in the Manypenny case, there was a real serious problem with lawlessness on the reservations. The state wanted the county sheriffs to kind of watch over what was going on the reservations. They were concerned, and they wanted the tribal officers to get duly licensed so that they had the quality of education and training to be able to combat this lawlessness problem on the reservations. So what we're looking at here is all the steps that the legislature took to tell the tribal police what they could do on their own reservation. And if you're telling them what they can do and what they cannot do on their own reservation, but then letting them run willy-nilly and do whatever they want off of the reservation, it makes no sense. And it's not part of the purpose of these statutes, reading them together to have a harmonious intent.
So why is Officer Byrne of the White Earth police force different from the Chaska officer in Yoroway? I mean, that officer also had certain geographic...
Right.
And so in other words...
That's true.
Your analysis of the course and scope...
It really comes into...
Essentially refers back to the original geographic limits. So in Yoroway, but the Yoroway court did not say, in answering course and scope, they did not say, let's look at where this Chaska police officer...
And they didn't...
May operate.
Yeah.
They went beyond his usual boundaries.
You're right about that. The reason they didn't have to is they weren't dealing with a sovereign nation here. They weren't dealing with a cooperative agreements. And introducing a tribe into this makes it so dissimilar from those other states and cities. It makes it so it does not apply to this situation, because these statutes, they did not have to interpret 626.93. They didn't have to look at 471.59. None of that happened in that case because there was not a sovereign nation and a reservation at issue there.
So are you invoking federal law, or are you asking us?
No, I'm not invoking. I'm just speaking to the point that we're dealing with a reservation and a tribe who have a lot of legislation that they have to follow. Mm-hmm. And that's what we have here. We don't have, it's not the same obligations that Chaska or the county attorney has to, I'm sorry, a county sheriff has to follow. That's so different.
Which part of the statutes indicate that the legislature wanted to treat tribal officers differently because they're from a sovereign nation?
If you look at 626.84, you see there, and subdivision one, that's the one that talks about, I'm looking at the wrong one. 626.84 is the peace officer statute. That treats the tribal officers as peace officers if they get licensed, which is a good thing because we want them to have that quality of education and training. But then if you look at 626.93, and here come all of these limitations upon the tribes, what they can do to set up their own...
Isn't that so that state law can apply on the sovereign nation of the tribe?
True.
Versus
yes.
Here, what we're talking about here is a tribal officer who is also a licensed peace officer in the state of Minnesota enforcing state law just outside of the reservation.
That is true, but what I will point out to you is if you're looking at the licensed peace officer statute, you're looking at no grant of authority in 626.84. What you're looking at is their requirements for their training. And that's not a grant of authority. The grant of authority to these tribal officers comes from 626.93. You have to meet all these requirements in subdivisions 1, subdivisions 2, subdivisions 4, 3. And then if you come back and you meet all that, then you get to enter into a cooperative agreement to get the help from the state to operate within your own reservation. Now, if you're a tribal officer...
What if you have two... adjoining municipalities, do they have to have a cooperative agreement before the officer of one municipality can exercise jurisdiction outside of that municipality in the course and scope of the officer's employment?
I can't speak to that specifically because it does not involve a tribe, but I believe no. That because it's not a tribe, there's not a whole lot of legislation against the cities telling them what they can and can't do, that it's a different situation. But again, that's not the issue that we have here, so I'm not going to be able to answer that with any specifics, Your Honor.
Okay, thank you.
They could have put in the agreement more language that would have given them broader...
Absolutely. Yes, they could have.
What language would they need?
If you look at the published cases in this case from the Mille Lacs Band, they have included in their cooperative agreements such language there. And by the way, I'll point out in the Sternquist case, they had the opportunity there to, that court had the opportunity to look at the peace officer statute and stop there with the analysis, and they did not. They went on and affirmed what that officer did based on the express language found in the cooperative agreement that allowed them to go off the reservation and enforce state laws off of the reservation. Now,
they did not apply the course and scope statute.
They did not, because
that's the issue here, really, right?
Really, it is, and that's why this is more of a novel issue than those, than any of the other cases present to us.
So if the subdivision four, I'm sorry, Judge Smith, if I...
No, no, that's fine.
The statute concerning cooperative agreements, sub four, refers to section four, you know, agreements under section 471.59, which is captioned joint exercise of powers, and it says for purposes of this agreement, a tribe shall be considered a governmental unit as defined in there.
That's right.
That, to me, that indicates that the legislature intends for tribes to be treated like any other municipality or unit of government. You know,
that's true, but only tribes are listed then in that statute. The cities don't have to meet the same requirements under 626.93. It's the tribes that are pointed out, and they are the ones who are singled out for this treatment. And really, that goes back to the whole overarching concern of the law of combating the lawlessness on reservations.
Chapter 471 is about municipalities.
That's right, and then it gets more specific in 626.93 towards just the tribes, and that's why they are treated differently than regular municipalities.
Question also about sub three.
Go ahead.
Which says the tribe shall have concurrent authority within the boundaries. I mean, how do we know that that is not so much the purpose of that is not to either protect, not so much to protect the tribe's authority on the reservation, but to preserve the county sheriff's authority to go on the reservation.
I think you're onto something there. I believe that might also be the intent there, but you know, this gets into all types of issues with Public Law 280 and how we deal with tribes as semi-sovereign nations and whatnot. And it's a larger issue there, but it is intended, I do believe you're right there, to bring in the county sheriffs to say, hey, we get to look over this too and make sure that you're meeting all of these standards, while at the same time telling the tribe, here's the limit of your authority, and you two can work together to make sure that all of this is taken care of.
Judge Cochran, I have a couple other questions.
Go ahead.
Two questions about the officer's testimony at the hearing.
Okay.
Well, first of all, I guess the general question, I mean, must we confine ourselves to the language of the document, the cooperative agreement, or may we also consider the officer's testimony that from time to time he was asked to help out in ways that, you know, might have gone beyond the terms of the cooperative agreement? I mean, can we consider his testimony as describing the course and scope?
I would say no, Your Honors, because he's not going to be an authority. He's not the person who can say exactly what his course and scope of employment is. He could be wrong. Could be and is about this. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No, go
ahead. His typical practice doesn't meet with what the legislature has told that him as a tribal officer what he can do and what his own tribe has told him he can do. And because of that, I would say that you could consider it, but he's wrong.
Isn't that also true of the officer in your way, the Chasco officer? I mean, I don't know. Having read the opinion, I don't know why he drove to Chanhazen to arrest that driver.
I don't think they ever say.
We don't know whether the police chief of Chasco approved that.
He just did. And maybe he was acting rogue. I don't know.
But our court approved it. I said it was within the course and scope.
That's right. Based on your way alone, we don't have enough information there to be able to apply it to this case. Here, I would say you can consider that, but it's not going to do much good for as an authority. The authority comes from the legislature. It comes from the tribe itself in the written documents.
Is there any information in the record as to how the tribe has defined the scope and duties of, or the scope of a tribal officer's duties?
None that I'm aware of, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Really, I said I had two questions, and actually, the second one.
I will take them.
So, he also testified that, as I recall, he was driving south and then east on 21, the road is right along the boundary, and then it leaves the reservation for a very, you know, short distance, maybe a 100,000 yards or something. And then it loops back up, and then you can take a right turn and go on 34 back into the reservation. And that there are no back roads for him to stay on the reservation. And I got the sense from his testimony that he sometimes, typically, customarily, takes that route to go from one part of the reservation to another part of the reservation. And in this case, it seems like he said, I think he testified he drove through the parking lot, maybe happened to see the pickup truck and then turned around and went back. So doesn't that testimony lend some credence to the idea that, you know, the course and scope of his duties often required it. When going from the southwest part of the reservation to the southeast part of the reservation, it required him to just briefly go outside the reservation in order to get from one part of it to another.
When we get down to brass tacks as to the actual specifics of how he's going to go about this, perhaps it's time for Becker County and the tribe to revisit their cooperative agreement.
You're not answering my question.
But we are not the people. The answer to your question is that would require the cooperative agreement to be expanded, and we are not the ones to tell them to do that. If they want to do that, then they need to add in that language. His typical practice does not comport with what authority has been given to him by his tribe and by the legislature.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honors.
May it please the court, counsel. First off, I apologize. My e-filing brief was a few days late. That was an unprofessional issue, and I appreciate the court accommodating my error of that e-filing. So today we are here on a motion to suppress based on a ruling from the district court. The county asks that you affirm the lower court's order, and the standard of review here obviously is clearly erroneous at this point. I think there's been a lot of discussion already that kind of lends itself to what the county's argument is, specifically noting there is a cooperative agreement. We all agree that that is needed and required under 626.93. What can be read within that agreement is specifically the purpose behind that cooperative agreement, which talks about what the county is doing within that reservation. You don't see anywhere in that document talking about what authority is outside of that, outside of the reservation, because that's not the requirement for the 626.93. The cooperative agreement talks about the confines within the reservation because that's the requirement under the statute. I want to note that White Earth.
So is there some other agreement that governs, is there some other agreement between the tribe and the county concerning whether a tribal officer may enforce state law outside the reservation?
There is. There is a statute, 629.40.
An agreement.
I'd proffer it to be somewhat implied based on the circumstances here today.
But there's nothing specific. Nothing written.
Nothing written.
No written policy.
No, Your Honor.
So just in terms of enforcement, if a tribal police officer is just going along on a Sunday afternoon for a drive, can he stop anybody on the road for, let's say a tail light is out, can he stop him?
I would argue under all White Earth police officers are licensed peace officers by the state of Minnesota. They all have that requirement, and under 629.40 subdivision 3, I would argue that they would be able to stop someone for perhaps a taillight going out if they were within the course and scope of their employment. So
that's my question. Is that within the course and scope of their employment if they're out on a Sunday afternoon drive?
The way that you're hypothesizing, if they're just out on a drive on a Sunday, if they're outside the reservation, I would argue, no, that they shouldn't be pulling people over. But if they are coming from the jail, which they often do, they're having to go to the Becker County Jail, back up to White Earth, they're in the course and scope of their employment, I would argue that then, yes, perhaps they could pull someone over, maybe not for a taillight, but perhaps for someone that was speeding or, again, aiding for an accident, which is what the appellant argued.
In that last hypothetical, though, they would be driving because they were on some business relating to their tribal jurisdiction, bringing someone back to the to White Earth, to the reservation.
Correct.
Here, my reading of the transcript was that the county contacted the tribal police, and then they asked for assistance, and this officer drove off the reservation to look for this individual. So how is that within the scope and course of employment if it's not business relating to enforcement of any activity on the reservation or related to transporting an individual back to the reservation? It's for a different jurisdiction.
Yes, thank you, Your Honor. In this particular instance, the dispatcher called because the vehicle was coming towards the reservation. So they called for assistance, assuming that the vehicle was going into the reservation. The officer was, as the court noted, coming down 21. There are two main roads going into the reservation at that point, right by Richwood Store, where the incident happened. The officer testified at the contested hearing that he was on 21 coming south. There was no other way unless he went off road. And that's not going to be a circumstance where he's going to find this vehicle. So what he was doing was looking for the vehicle. The vehicle would either pass him on 21, or his hypothesis was, or he would catch him at 34. He did happen to end up going off the reservation and stop the vehicle off the reservation. But again, we would argue that this was within the scope and course of his employment. It was incidental that the vehicle happened to be outside the reservation at this point. He was asked to stop the vehicle specifically within the scope of his employment. And his hopes was that he could find the vehicle on the reservation. And the sheriff's, Becker County Sheriff's Office had hoped that, and the reason why they called White Earth for the assistance was they had assumed the vehicle was going on the reservation. And the officer further testified that that White Earth is within three different counties. And it's customary that they will get calls for service as needed outside the reservation, as does the opposite. Becker County goes into White Earth as normal cooperative agencies that work in the same county or in the same area will often help each other out. I note that the cooperative agreement talks about information within the reservation, and that is what's needed under 626.93. And I guess I can't speak specifically, but 629.40 subdivision 3 then would envelope that if they were to go off the reservation. I know that, although this isn't information within the brief, but officers go off outside their jurisdiction for specific reasons all the time. You've had circumstances where officers go to aid in funerals, going to a place where an officer may have passed away, going and facilitating for funerals or for big events, the Super Bowl. We envelope that scope of officers being licensed peace officers within the state of Minnesota. So in certain circumstances, they can enforce the laws in the state of Minnesota all around the state. This was a very specific circumstance. So the argument being that they willy-nilly go around and enforce laws all over the state is not accurate. This was a specific request. This is not something that happens all the time, but it's something that the statutes do allow for. So the county at this point in the state is asking that the court find and affirm the lower court's decision at this point based on the fact that there is a statute in place, and the county is arguing that the scope of that he was within his scope of employment for this specific request. And that's all that I have at this point. If you have any further questions for me.
I have a hypothetical. If we were to hypothetically, if we were to ask the tribe to submit an amicus brief in this case, what do you think they would say?
I would think that they would argue that they believe that since all peace officers are licensed in the state of Minnesota, that they are able to go outside their jurisdiction for very specific reasons. Again, the county argues that this is a very specific reason. It's not him just going off the reservation and just deciding, again, like on a Sunday afternoon, to pull someone over outside the reservation. That, in fact, would not be in the course or in scope of his employment. But with this specific request, we think that the statute is confined to that. And the court earlier brought up, I guess, a pretty good point in terms of what the county may do differently. And there may be a discussion of whether or not the cooperative agreement needs to be broadened. But at this point, the county would argue that...
I think that was your opposing counsel who made that suggestion.
Why do you think Mille Lacs has a broader agreement, a two-way agreement, so to speak?
Well, they also have a different statute that they're following under.
How does their statute lead to a different agreement, though? That's what I'd like to try and understand, because I did look at their statute as well. So in your view, why would they enter into such an agreement based on their statute versus the tribe having...
I guess I can't speak on that. I'm not sure whether or not Mille Lacs, all peace officers are licensed. Perhaps they are. I just know White Earth are all licensed peace officers.
Okay, that's fine. I'm just was wondering if you had thoughts on that. So, any further questions?
Yeah.
All right, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Just a couple of quick points on rebuttal here. Oh, I'm sorry. Excuse me. Thank you.
It's the retro clock.
2 points that I wanted to make on rebuttal, and I'm happy to answer any questions that you have. First, I just want to remind your honors that the state's entire argument seems to set on this fact that it's implied that he can go off. If they had wanted him to go off of the reservation, they would have said so in the cooperative agreement. They had the option to do that. This legislature gave them that option. Other tribes have taken that option. They didn't take that option.
Well, but I understood Ms. Codrey to argue that the purpose of the agreement as between the county and the tribe was intended only to regulate or to provide an agreement between the two entities concerning what happens on the reservation, but was not intended to regulate anything off the reservation. It was not intended to say that what occurs, you know, within the agreement is the only thing. I'm not articulating that very well, but I
understand what you're saying. Yes, but again, it makes no sense, and it within the realm of the statutes that we have here, to just say that you are so limited and here's everything that you can and can't do on your own land, but off of it, do whatever. We're fine with that. It just does not make sense. So, and to take that interpretation sort of abrogates the whole point of these and the purpose and legislative intent behind these statutes, which is, yes, it is to combat the lawlessness on the reservation. Yes, the focus is the reservation, but we also don't want tribal officers. There's sort of like a step back from tribal officers here. We don't want them to just come off of the reservation and do whatever they want to do off of the reservation, because for better or worse, it seems that the intent here is that they don't really, the legislature doesn't really trust them to do the right thing here. And that's, while that may be right or wrong, that's what's happening here.
Maybe the legislature is comfortable relying on the course and scope language to determine when the tribal officer may.
And it appears that White Earth and Becker County have determined that by saying that you stay on your reservation to enforce the state laws. Now, council has also said that they go off all of the time.
In the cooperative agreement, does it say you stay on your reservation?
The cooperative agreement, it states, quote unquote, the tribal police shall enforce the criminal laws of the state of Minnesota within that portion of the White Earth Reservation that lies within Becker County. I believe that's on page one of the cooperative agreement. Again, going back to the typical practice to go off of the reservation all the time, that's not in the record. We need to confine our analysis to the record here.
What if the tribe authorized its police to assist the county, but there wasn't a cooperative agreement? Would that be sufficient for it to be within the course and scope of employment?
Authorized under like a written authorization, or?
Yeah, I mean, as the tribe is its own government, and it define the scope of employment for its tribal officers to include assisting neighboring jurisdictions.
That may be enough, but those are not the facts that we have here, and it's not in our record that that has happened, and so we can't assume that that's been authorized by the tribe.
So is further fact-finding necessary to determine that?
I don't think so, Your Honors. You have a complete record here to make your decision, and if you, as Judge Johnson had intimated earlier, if you ask the tribe to do an amicus, I don't know that they would even agree to do an amicus in this case. I have not spoken to them, but I don't know what their feelings are on this, to tell you the truth.
Was your client arrested by Officer Byrne?
He was seized and cited and let go, and then written a traffic ticket, essentially, and then a criminal complaint was later filed.
And do you consider the seizure to be an arrest?
Seizure and citations are the same as arrest under the statutes, yes. Same authority levels here.
But I mean, what in fact was he arrested by Officer Byrne?
Yes, I would consider that giving the citation is the same, would be the same as a physical arrest, yes. If there are no other questions, thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you very much. The matter was well argued and well briefed. And concludes our calendar for the day. Thank you all who have come to observe for taking the time to do so. We appreciate you being here. Have a good day.